Saturday Coffee Clutch. And it is the Saturday Coffee Clutch with Heather Lofthouse and yours truly, Robert Reich. And Heather, I'm delighted to see you again.
We're in person.
In person. Lots to talk about.
As always.
Like what?
What should we do? Let's do Trump's antics.
Well, I mean, that's not news.
At long last. Hello? I know.
But they're new now.
Oh, there are lots of good ones. Yeah. How broke is he? You know, trial update, his speeches. And then let's talk about the biggest Republican donor you probably haven't heard about.
Yes.
Oh, clever. Then let's talk about Biden, all he's been up to. Interesting things. We have Apple lawsuits. We have student debt.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, Trump is taking all the oxygen again, not surprised. But these are very important Biden initiatives. We ought to talk about them. You need to be talking about them,
yeah,
too.
And a few more items. Let's get into it. So Trump, this week, I can't believe it's been a week since we last saw everybody. He went to Dayton, Ohio. He made a speech. Let's go.
I think he's completely off the rails. I mean, Trump has been off the rails, what, for eight years, forever. But I think he is actually so desperate because he knows that this election, unlike 2016, even unlike 2020, this election is going to be the difference between him losing his freedom, losing his fortune, or basically not. And so the stakes are huge.
I know.
And there's nothing he will not do.
I know. And he's doing all the othering. And so he said, we all know this, there will be a bloodbath if I am not elected.
And then he moved very, very fast against the bloodbath comment. He said he was only talking about the auto industry.
Cars.
Yeah. But, you know, there were so many other things in that speech and in other speeches he's given, which makes it very clear that the centerpiece of his campaign is the 2020, what he calls the stolen election, and also the fact that so many people who were involved in the riot at the Capitol are now in jail appropriately.
Hostages.
And he calls them hostages.
It's disgusting. I know. And immigrants are not people. I mean, it really was a
animals. I mean, he is now moving into another phase. The campaign is officially now going. We have 7.5 months of this craziness.
Yeah.
And worse.
Now, the other thing he backtracked on was Social Security.
Now, I think this is interesting because a lot of young people for years now don't think that they're going to get Social Security, but they are. They are. I was a trustee of the Social Security
I forgot
Trust
this.
Fund.
I knew there was another badge
and
somewhere.
I know all of the mathematics. I know the actuarial assumptions. And Social Security, the fear is, and it's a justifiable fear, Social Security in about 10 years can't fulfill all of its obligations. But that has nothing to do with why Republicans are going after Social Security. They basically want to raise the retirement age. And Heather, they've said this repeatedly.
Yep.
It's not just Trump. They want to raise the retirement age, and they also want to do it so that they can give another huge tax cut to their patrons.
That's it, to the rich. I know. So there is a motive behind it. But here's the thing. So the Dems in both the House and the Senate, there's legislation to improve Social Security, not cut it. And the caps are a little different, and there's all that. But I thought we solved this issue in the 80s with so many issues.
Well, we did. We did. Alan Greenspan had a commission in the mid-80s to solve the Social Security crisis forever.
Right.
But the reason that it wasn't solved forever is that much more of total income in this country went to the top than anybody had foreseen. And so given that the cap on income subject to the Social Security payroll tax, it is this year $168,600.
Hello, someone was on the committee.
$168,600. Jeff Bezos fulfilled his Social Security payroll tax obligations
in a nanosecond.
At 7 minutes past midnight
right.
on January 1st.
Right.
So it's totally absurd and it's unfair.
It has to be restructured.
And the Biden administration and Joe Biden have come up with, I think, a very, very good plan. You don't want to subject all income, but any income over, say, $400,000 should have to be subject to the Social Security payroll tax. It's only fair. And that's, in fact, what Joe Biden is and several members of Congress are pushing.
Yep, exactly. And let's hope it goes through. Now, so we talked about Dayton, Ohio. Poor Ohio is, you know, getting a lot of bad rap here.
Why did I ever leave
Ohio? Are we going to get in trouble for doing that song? But he is, Trump is so broke. So every headline this week was, he went to 30 companies. No one will back his bond.
This is bullshit. He's not broke. He's got all of these assets, these real estate assets. He just doesn't want to sell them. It's right. complicated to sell them, you know, but he may have to. And all of this stuff, have you heard about bankruptcy and mm-hmm. whether he's going to bankrupt? And he says he doesn't want to go. Trump has got to either reorganize under bankruptcy or he's got to sell real estate. Yeah. There's no way around this.
But what about the fact that there's this big merger potentially happening in his media portfolio?
But it's all so filled, not surprisingly, given Trump, with litigation. Many of the original investors in Trump's social media empire, so-called, they don't like the way Trump has organized the payout.
Right.
Isn't that surprising?
So did he overvalue it?
They are going to make it very difficult for him ever to get his money out, or right. certainly by the time he's got to put up a bond. I mean, remember, this is all in the context of $93 million bond for E. Jean Carroll, and then some on $450 million bond toward the yeah. investors toward and lenders
right.
That Trump overvalued his right. properties.
Okay, so the other thing is, maybe Jeff Yass will come to his rescue.
Jeff Yass is the
Tell
biggest,
us about him.
Well, he's the biggest Republican investor. $46 million so far in this election, in the election of 2024. And he is a, he's a billionaire.
Right.
He is a major investor in TikTok.
Yep.
He owns 7% of ByteDance, TikTok's parent company
yep.
in China. By the way, this shows that American billionaires, there's nothing about a nation that stops them. I mean, they own property all over the world. They have investments all over the world. But Yass, because he's such a big investor and such a big donor, has a lot of power.
That's it.
It's
very scary.
Trump did a 180-degree turn on ByteDance on TikTok after he basically was told by Yass, if you want any more money, you've got to help me with TikTok.
Yep. And he is not a fan of what the government is trying to do around TikTok.
No. In fact, interestingly, the House, the Republican House, did say TikTok should be banned. Right now, the Senate, a Democratic-controlled Senate, is debating this. But Yass is behind. You know, he's in the background. He
yeah.
is trying to exert as much influence as possible. And again, he's a good example, Heather, of why we have a problem in this country with so much money going to the top, which gets translated into political power.
I mean, you've talked about this for a few years. And you've done a few videos on it.
I mean,
we keep having examples.
And the game is rigged, and people know the game is rigged. And this is one of the biggest problems. You know, we have two very closely related problems with democracy. One is the game being rigged by billionaires, and the other is authoritarianism.
Right.
And people have got to understand how closely related they are, because when so many people in the working class who are not getting ahead see that they cannot get ahead, in part because the game is rigged,
right.
they are more susceptible to authoritarian, essentially fascism.
I know. And the middle class and average workers are a pawn in both games.
Exactly.
Which is just horrific. It's brutal. Okay, well, we'll keep up the fight. The good news is,
it's nice to see you.
I know. We haven't been in person in a while.
Yes. Happy coffee.
Cheers. Happy coffee, everybody. So President Biden, big news this week in terms of antitrust and Apple. Maybe we start there.
Well, Apple, it's interesting because right now, the Biden administration is going after Apple, the antitrust division of the Justice Department, just announced. And they are also, the Federal Trade Commission under the Biden administration is going after Amazon. And you've got these gigantic companies that are now under kind of antitrust.
Yep.
And they should be.
Yeah. I mean, and Google and Meta too, in different ways. I mean, there are four big things we're watching.
This is an amazing revival of antitrust enforcement. We haven't seen anything like this really since the 1900s, since the beginning of the last century when Teddy Roosevelt was an antitrust enforcer.
And the robber barons.
And we have new robber barons. I mean, the parallels are extraordinary. This is the second Gilded Age.
And the laws are the same. We might have to update a few of them.
Well, some of them have to be updated a little bit. The Federal Trade Commission Act of 1914. But what's interesting is that you've got Biden. Biden is doing something that the Trump that the Clinton administration would not do, the Obama administration would not do, Carter would not do. No Democrat has taken the antitrust laws and done what Biden is doing. And the same thing with labor.
Yeah.
I mean, no Democrat has been as active in recent years trying to protect the rights of unions.
Right, exactly. Protect the rights of unions, but also, so in terms of this antitrust, so it is a monopoly. Now, there are lots of people trying to define what a monopoly is, and is Apple a monopoly? But basically, they're saying when you control prices as you do, and when you control a marketplace and all the people who are doing the inputs for it, whether it's game developers or whoever else is trying to be innovative, there's too much control that they have over the entire market, no matter how you slice it, no matter how many Androids there are. There are too many iPhones for every Android.
And also, implicitly in these antitrust cases is the concern about the political power that comes with extraordinary concentration.
Yep.
And that's really the background contest. Do they have so much political power that these antitrust cases cannot move forward? Or are the antitrust cases going to essentially block over the next 10 years the political power of some of these concentrations?
Right.
But I want to stress, there's no way that these cases can be completed in the first term of the Biden administration.
Right, right, of course.
And this is one of the things that people have got to understand. The Biden administration's attacks on antitrust and defense of the right for people to, workers to unionize, both are long-term strategies.
Of course. And you know who understands long-term strategies really well? Republicans and MAGA. Thank you all for correcting last week.
I thought it was MAGA.
Isn't no, MAGA? We've done this game. Everyone in the comments said, come on, it's like maggots.
It's MAGA.
No, it's MAGA. I think so, and you all decided, he knows it's MAGA. We all know it's MAGA. But they keep in mind the long game, right? I mean, they've been thinking about Roe v. Wade, abortion, IVF, recreational sex, contraception for a long time, and where they're going to put people on courts and otherwise.
And they also have known for a very long time that going after these cultural issues are a way of creating a demon, a kind of an opponent. And the Democrats don't want to indulge in what is essentially the correlate of cultural populism, which would be economic populism, until the Biden administration.
Right, which I did not have on my bingo card.
Well, bingo, you should.
Bingo. But it's been, and we've done videos on this and a lot of people are talking about it. We're not the only ones, but these structural changes, and it is a giant ship in the middle of the ocean and it's not going to happen in 4 years. But it's exciting to see. Another thing from the week, were you going to say something?
Well, I was just going to say that what Biden administration is not doing is touting this as economic populism. In other words, they are not saying that the biggest corporations, that the CEOs of the biggest corporations, that the moneyed interests are threatening democracy. Biden is not doing what Teddy Roosevelt did and what his fifth cousin Franklin D. Roosevelt did in terms of taking on the moneyed interest directly as a campaign theme, as a campaign strategy. They're doing it.
Right.
But they're not doing, they're not labeling.
Right. They're not shouting about it through a bullhorn. But do you think there will, in the next, you said 7.5 months, where there'll be a little more outward facing connecting of the dots for
well,
us all?
There are people in the White House who want to go in this direction, yeah. but I don't know that Joe Biden does. That
right.
is, he is in his heart a populist. He is willing to strengthen, you know, the anti-monopolies, antitrust laws. He's willing to strengthen unions. He's willing to march on the picket line. But is he willing to say that actually these big corporations and these CEOs that are, you know, now getting 530 times what the typical worker is earning, they are themselves guilty of a kind of not only moral turpitude, but they are also undermining our democracy. I don't know. We'll find out.
I feel like there he got a little closer in the State of the Union.
Yeah.
I mean, a little closer with some of the sound bites and some of the stats and some of the. So we'll see. This week, student debt was a big. He did some big moves on student debt. For
yes.
Thousands.
There were millions.
There
were billions of dollars. Over $5 billion in student debt was erased through executive order.
Right.
Now, I don't know how much he can do,
yeah.
but he's already done an amazing amount.
Right.
And this is also a form of economic populism.
Right. And there were a lot of federal employees and other kind of public, you know, servants who were in the mix, firefighters and teachers. I mean, it's a really good thing. I think it was 77,000.
I think it was about 77,000.
Also
taking on housing in terms of these zoning rules at the state and local level, mostly local level, that are exclusionary. And he's taking on exclusionary zoning. Again, a longer term, much, much longer term proposition,
right.
but very populist.
But he hasn't mentioned private equity and hedge funds yet.
Not yet.
There's
but
time.
But let's just pause there for a second,
yeah.
because a lot of people don't know that private equity and hedge funds have been buying up a lot of residential real estate in this country, making really as a ploy, and it is a ploy, to drive up market prices.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
one of the reasons that real estate is so expensive.
Right.
Particularly in some regions of the South.
Yep, and those are single-family homes and multifamily homes. I saw some scary statistics that said they could own up to a quarter of all property in the next 10 years.
So this is our advice to the Biden administration. Make sure people understand that you're going after private equity and these hedge funds that are buying up all this property. Will
right.
you please? It's good
Thank you.
Politics.
Thank you. The other thing this week was realtors are no longer going to be charging for sure 6% commission. There was a big lawsuit, and that was an interesting win. Now, that's different than what the Biden administration has been doing, but it's still notable in terms of a shifting economy that takes into account individuals and practices that are not, you know, on the side of the individual, right?
Absolutely. And that the financialization of the economy over the last 40 years has been one of the major forces that have been pushing more and more money to the top.
Yep.
And every time you take on that financialization,
yep.
every time you, whether it's the administration directly or indirectly pushing or the states, some states are doing a very good job. California, for example, you are helping restore the American middle class and
That's
you're
it.
Helping the working class.
That's it. I read something the other day, too, about in terms of political communication and what we're saying and who Trump is and who Biden is. And we need to be doing less about who the people are and more, obviously, about what the ideologies and the actual policies are.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. Hmm. In the year 2000, when Al Gore was running for office, mm-hmm. there was a 2-week period. Anybody remember this? When Al Gore said, the real issue here is a contest between the people and the powerful.
Oh, yeah, I do remember. Was that 2020?
That was 2020. That was, no, 2000.
No. Yeah.
And in that 2000 election, Al Gore, during those 2-week periods, when he actually talked about it being a contest between the people and the powerful, his ratings
yeah,
were soaring. And then he stopped.
Yeah, well, got too close. The moth got too close to the flame.
But I can't emphasize enough. This is what people believe. They understand. They know what's happening in this country.
Yeah.
And so that kind of framing of what's at stake can be very, very powerful.
Framing. We need a frame prop.
We do.
Every time you say framing, I'm going to bring in a frame. Get ready. I am actually going to do it. Today is, dun-dun-dun-dun, the 14th anniversary of Obamacare.
The Affordable Care Act, and congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Seriously, happy anniversary to everyone with pre-existing conditions and otherwise.
But remember, in 2016, Trump came to office pledging that he would get rid of the Affordable Care Act. He couldn't.
Wait, he made a campaign pledge that he didn't keep?
And I think the big learning here, and the Republicans all trying to do it too, is that once the public gets used to something that really is in the public's interest, that is important to the public, it's very hard to get rid of it, like Social Security.
Yeah, exactly. And guess what? Healthcare is a fundamental right. It is a problem as it stands. So seeing the ACA go is not going to be good for many, many people.
Well, interestingly, in this 2024 election, I have not yet heard Trump threatening to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. Maybe he learned his lesson.
Well, he'll probably say it in a couple weeks. It might be in Ohio, and then he'll... I didn't mean that Affordable Care Act. I meant a different one. Whatever he's going to do.
Yes.
Okay, have we covered all the things? Are there other... Anyone else?
Well, there's a lot more to talk about. We'll do it next week. Heather, it's really nice to see you.
It's good to see you. We're back in person. Yes, and thank you to everyone for listening and putting great things in the comments that we pay attention to, like how to say MAGA.
And before we leave, I do want to welcome to the world Javi Akash Isaacson, Carol and John 25th anniversary, and also happy birthday, Sasha. All of you have a great week. We'll see you next week.